Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Marriage, divorce, and remarriage are subjects of great controversy within the church. Using Scripture as our textbook, Pastor Ray Viola will address these critical issues head on. Please open your Bible to Mark chapter 10 and follow along as Pastor Ray begins his study of verses 1 through 12.
The Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 1 through 12. And he arose from thence, and cometh into the coasts of Judea by the farther side of Jordan. And the people resort unto him again. And as he was known, he taught them again. And the Pharisees came to him, and asked him, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife, tempting him? And he answered and said unto them, What did Moses command you? And they said, Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement and to put her away. And Jesus answered and said unto them, For the hardness of your heart he wrote you this precept. For from the beginning of the creation God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. So then they are no more two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder. And in the house his disciples asked him again of the same matter. And he said unto them, Whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another committeth adultery against her. And if a woman shall put away her husband and be married to another, she commits adultery. If you're taking notes, I would encourage you to write down these scriptures, Matthew 5, 27 through 32, Luke 16, verse 18, Romans 7, verses 1 through 3, and 1 Corinthians 7. This morning we're going to tackle the important subject of marriage, divorce, and remarriage. It seems like almost overnight, our society has gone from one in which marriage was honored and in which sexual activity was seen as only proper within marriage to a society in which marriage is viewed as a relationship of convenience and where all manner of sexual immorality is not only tolerated, but now it's celebrated. And Jesus addresses this issue here in the Gospel of Mark. He leaves the coasts of Judea. He teaches the people. Matthew 19 says that he not only taught them, but he heals them. And out of the midst of the crowd come the Pharisees. And they ask him a question, is it lawful for a man to put away, that means divorce his wife, tempting him? Matthew 19, verse 3 says this, Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for every cause? We need to understand that the Pharisees are not asking Jesus this question because they really want an answer. They're asking him the question because they want to trap him. They already had their own viewpoint concerning marriage and divorce, and so they pose this question. Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? This subject was headline news at the time because Herod had put away his wife and married his brother Philip's wife, and John the Baptist had been beheaded because he had spoken out against it. So if Jesus answered no to their question, it would bring him into a head-on conflict with Herod and the government of Rome. On the other hand, if he said yes to their question, they would accuse him of being lax in his teaching towards the Jews. So Jesus responds. They thought they trapped him. You can never trap Jesus. He says, well, what did Moses command you? That's his reply. And they said, Moses suffered to write a bill or a certificate of divorcement and to put her away. Jesus knew that they would say that. And they're referring to Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 1, When a man hath taken a wife and married her, and it come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes, because he has found some uncleanness or indecency in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement and give it in her hand and send her out of his house. There were two schools of interpretation that revolved around the phrase, she has found no favor in his eyes because he has found some uncleanness in her. There were the followers of Rabbi Shammah, and he held a conservative view that a divorce could only be granted because of unchastity, adultery, or something scandalous. On the other hand, there was a rabbi by the name of Hillel, and he held a more liberal view that divorce could be granted for any reason. And this liberal school said that a man could divorce his wife if she spoiled his dinner. There was another rabbi by the name of Akiba, who was of the school of thought. He went even farther, saying that the phrase that she became displeasing to him meant that a man could divorce his wife if he found another woman who was more beautiful than her. Well, guess which interpretation was the most popular? The second one, the liberal one. And because of that, women came to be treated almost like merchandise to be sold, bought, traded, and divorce inevitably became common. So essentially, the Pharisees took a law that was intended to protect wrong spouses, and they broadened it greatly. They turned divorce from something designed for limited application into something that someone could seek the moment he or she was tired or unhappy with their spouse. And the reason why this concession was made, in verse 5, for the hardness of your heart, Moses wrote this precept. In other words, it was allowed in order to prevent greater evils. So Jesus dodges, what did Rabbi Hillel say? What did Rabbi Shammah say? He goes right back to the scripture. He says, but from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. Jesus went beyond the rabbis. Jesus went beyond the law. And he reminded them and us that the origin of marriage was established by God right there in the beginning. He brings us back. He brings them back to God's ideal at the creation before sin entered into the world. Divorce was not in his plan. It was not a part of his program. And Jesus, whenever he was confronted by individuals trying to trap him, always would go back to the scriptures and draw his arguments from them, which is a wise thing to do. And I want you to notice, beloved, that Jesus puts a stamp of approval and authenticity on the literal account of creation as found in the book of Genesis. The very account which the modern, liberal, progressive, evolutionary critics say is nothing more than a fable. Jesus, going back to Genesis, said, for this cause, or for this reason, shall a man leave his father and mother for the sake of marriage and cleave to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh, so then they are no more two, but one flesh. Jesus quoted from Genesis to emphasize two things that I see. Number one, first, the intimacy of the marriage relationship. The two will become one flesh. It involves the sexual, but it's much deeper than that. Marriage affords the deepest possible intimacy in earthly relationships, deeper than the relationship that we have with our children. It's amazing when you see your children born. There's a bond that begins. There's a bond that grows and increases over the years. Yet, as a married man, I am not one flesh with my son or daughter. I'm only one flesh with my wife. That's the only permanent relationship. Secondly, Jesus emphasizes the permanence of marriage. You will note in verses 8 through 10 that Jesus adds his own comment to the Genesis account. So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. In other words, there was never any thought of divorce, ever. God's ideal was and still is a monogamous, intimate, enduring marriage between, and I have to say this, a man and a woman. Or anything other than that is a departure from divine design. And whenever a society gets away from God's divine design, there's chaos, there's breakdown, there's confusion, there's the United States of America. Jesus here reiterates that marriage is a sacred institution. It was something that was ordained by God at creation and never intended to be dissolved until death. God's original purpose was that one man should wed one woman and that only death should break that union. And so what Jesus is saying here is that divorce is not an ideal that is to be pursued, but something that we should strive to prevent whenever possible. And he says in verse 10 through 12, the disciples asked him about that matter. And he said, whosoever shall put away or divorce his wife and marry another commits adultery against her. And if a woman shall put away or divorce her husband and be married to another, she commits adultery. Now, according to Mark's account, Jesus gives no reason or cause for divorce and remarriage. But that's not the only time Jesus spoke about this. In Matthew chapter 19, beginning in verse 7, they said unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? He said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, now listen carefully, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, commits adultery, and whoso marries her, which is put away, does commit adultery. So here in Matthew's version, Jesus says that there is a reason for divorce. And he limits it to be valid in cases of repeated, unrepentant sexual infidelity. And if there be a divorce on any other ground, neither the man nor the woman can marry again without committing adultery. And so Jesus was far stricter than either Rabbi Hillel or Rabbi Shammai because he superseded the teaching of Deuteronomy 24 and said that the only grounds by which one could divorce his or her spouse was marital unfaithfulness, an offense which was originally punished by death. You know that? That in the old covenant, under the law, both adultery, murder, there was no atonement for that. It was punishable by death, execution. So according to Jesus, if you divorce for any reason other than sexual immorality and immorality, it's you who commits adultery. Jesus said that in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:32. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced commits adultery. Now, there are those branches of the Christian church that hold to a no divorce for any reason theology. And they base it on Mark 10 that we read and Luke 16 verse 18, where there is no containing of exception clauses. But Matthew writes about it in chapter 5. Matthew writes about it in chapter 19. So did Jesus' teaching on divorce kind of evolve? Did it change? Why is there a difference? I think Pastor John Stott gives a great answer. Quote, it is far more likely that its absence from Mark and Luke, this cause, exception clause, we'll call it, is due not to their ignorance of it, but to their acceptance of it as something taken for granted. After all, under the Mosaic law, adultery was punishable by death, so nobody would have questioned that marital unfaithfulness was a just ground for divorce. Matthew tells us in chapter 19, verses 10 through 12, the same dialogue. His disciples said to him, the case of the man be so with his wife, it is not good to marry. That's not what God said in the beginning, remember? What did God say? He said, it's not good for a man to be alone. But he said unto them, all men cannot receive this saying, save they to whom it is given. For there are some eunuchs which were so born from the mother's womb, and there are some eunuchs which were made eunuchs of men, and there be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He that is able to receive it, let him receive it. And so this exception clause should be viewed like this. No matter how rough things are, regardless of the stress and strain or whatever is said about compatibility and temperament, nothing allows for divorce except one thing, unfaithfulness. And even then, it is not to be used as an excuse to get out of the marriage if the guilty party repents. Sadly, some divorce lawyers and Christian counselors are recommending divorce and remarriage on grounds which are in opposition to the clear teaching of Jesus Christ. You remember Bob Hope? How many of you remember Bob Hope? Yes. Yeah. You guys look like you could use to take a breath. Bob Hope once said, America is a country where the Olympics and the divorce lawyers both have the same slogan. Go for the gold. And he wasn't intending that it be funny. He was citing that it's an epidemic. And due to a divorce-easy culture that scoffs at the inspiration of Holy Scripture, along with an ever-increasing assault of liberal theology within the church, marriage has been trivialized into a provisional union for sexual pleasure, which dissolves when we are no longer compatible or happy. What about vows? What about vows? For better, for worse. For sickness and health. For richer or poorer. According to Jesus Christ and the whole counsel of Scripture, when you enter into a marriage covenant, it demands a total commitment, which only death or the most flagrant, ongoing, unrepentant sexual infidelity can bring to an end. Now, I'm not certainly going to answer all of your questions in 40 minutes. Some of you may ask, what if I'm being physically abused? What if my spouse is engaged in criminal activity that is threatening the safety of me and my children? Well, my advice to you is get away from that situation. Find a safe place. Get a restraining order. It's unwise to stay married in a situation where you're afraid to go to sleep at night because you fear that your wife or your husband is going to cut your throat. Don't be foolish. Don't be foolish. Paul, in 1 Corinthians 7, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, gives another reason for divorce, a valid reason. In 1 Corinthians 7, he gives advice first to the unmarried in verses 8 and 9, then to married believers in verses 10 and 11, and finally to those who have mixed marriages, those who are not wed to people who are born again in verses 12 through 16. And without going through all of those verses this morning, verse 15 reads this way, but if the unbelieving depart, let him or her depart A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. In other words, if the unbeliever deserts or abandons the marriage because they refuse to live with someone who was a committed follower of Jesus Christ and he or she is determined not to come back, the believer says, let him go. Now, the implication is that you're making every effort to win them to Christ and to appeal them to come. But if they go, the Bible says that the believer is not bound, which means that the unbeliever who has deserted them, they've broken the marriage bond. And thus the believer is free to divorce and remarry. The consistent use of the word bound in this passage and in others argues that not bound means not bound in marriage. And so let's try to sum up what Jesus and Paul teach. Number one, divorce is not to be the norm nor the ideal. You don't enter into a marriage with the back door thought, well, if it doesn't work, I'm out. Divorce is a divine concession due to what? Human weakness, sin, hardness of heart. But, and here's where the church fails so often, we must realize that if someone divorces and remarries within biblical guidelines, it is not sin, though it is due to sin. You see, there are biblical counts that allow for remarriage. Number one, when one's mate is guilty of sexual immorality and is unwilling to repent and live faithfully within the marriage. In such cases, divorce and remarriage are permissible. Secondly, when a believer is deserted by an unbelieving spouse, divorce and remarriage are again permitted. Third, now, I personally believe that remarriage is permissible for those who have been married and divorced before coming to Jesus Christ. Those who come to Christ having been divorced BC are now completely forgiven. Among the old things that have passed away are all sins, including divorce prior to salvation. If it is otherwise, then divorce is the only sin for which Christ did not atone. In fact, I believe that when someone comes to Christ, their whole past is, in the eyes of God, becomes done. It's over. Everything is new. All things become new. My past, my sexual past, everything, I'm forgiven. Now, there may be consequences, there may be issues that I'm dealing with, but now I become new. You have to realize, beloved, that although divorce is always the result of sin, divorce in itself is not always sin, and not everyone in a divorce situation is guilty of sin. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless
His word. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. as we complete this study on Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Have you ever felt God's tug on your heart to participate in a foreign mission but didn't know where to start? Pastor Ray would like to invite you to learn more about the work he is doing in India. IndiaConnection.org is a small but growing missionary organization that is made up of over 100 Christian fellowships spread across India. In the face of poverty and persecution, our pastors proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. By the grace of God, people are hearing the good news and getting saved every day. Here in Rochester, India Connection gives everybody a chance to help equip and edify God's church in India. Our volunteers help build churches in villages that have never had one before, heal the sick on a medical missions trip, teach young men and women how to be effective teachers of the Word, and care for abandoned and at-risk children at the Girls' Home of Pune. A good place to start is to come to one of our meetings, the third Thursday of every month at 7 p.m. at Koinonia Fellowship in East Rochester. Our next meeting is tomorrow. Hope to see you there.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.